Hello, and welcome to the Wavebreak Podcast. If you're new here, I'm your host, Dylan Kelly, and every Monday, I interview the people behind the top Shopify stores to figure out what they're doing to take their stores to the next level and how you can do the same. This episode is brought to you by my consultancy, Wavebreak. We help Shopify stores maximize their email marketing revenue. Is your email marketing stuck? Do you feel like you could be doing it better? I put together a free 31-point email revenue checklist that lays out exactly what you need to do to take your email marketing to the next level. Get the free checklist at emailrevenuechecklist.com. That's emailrevenuechecklist.com. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode. I'm your host, Dylan Kelly, as usual, and today joining me is Judy Townsend from Mannequin Madness. She's the source for all things mannequin related. She sells new and used mannequins, she recycles mannequins, she rents mannequins, and she even shows people how to use them for business, art, and even home decor. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Judy.
Thank you so much, Dylan.
So it's like, I wanted to say, the only thing she doesn't do to mannequins is eat them.
And you know, some people do make some cakes in the shape of a mannequin, so that is a possibility if someone's interested.
Have you ever eaten a mannequin?
No, I have not.
All right. Well, just to get started, what is Mannequin Madness?
Mannequin Madness is, as you said, we're like the online resource for everything that you want to know about mannequins, whether you need to purchase a mannequin, rent a mannequin, you have some questions about repair. But we also show people how to really most effectively use a mannequin, whether they have a retail store or if they're doing a mannequin for an art project, Burning Man, Halloween. You know, on our blog and our social media, we do a lot of posting of different ways that people use a mannequin because it is so diverse, the kind of reasons that people use a body part, bottom line.
I love it. How did you get into this business?
I consider myself an accidental entrepreneur. I did not grow up wanting to be the mannequin queen is what I'm called now. But I always did like window displays and I always liked my Barbie dolls. Never did I think I would make a living out of it. But one day I was surfing on Craigslist looking for concert tickets and I noticed a guy was selling a mannequin. And I had wanted a mannequin for an art project from my backyard. That was it. But when I went to see the seller, he had about 50 mannequins, and he said he runs the only mannequin rental company in town, and now he was leaving the state. Now, I had never touched a mannequin before or worked retail. I didn't know that people even have a reason to rent a mannequin. But it was just one of those kind of gut reactions when he said that. I said, you know what? I'm going to buy all your inventory and start the new mannequin rental business in town. But it was only going to be a side hustle. I had no idea that it would grow into what it's become.
Wow, that's crazy. So was it just like on the spot? You're like, okay, let's do this?
Totally. He was leaving the state within 2 weeks. If I had more time to think about it, I probably would have talked myself out of it because it did sound a little crazy, which is why I named my business Mannequin Madness, because a lot of people thought I was crazy for doing this. But it was just something I thought could just be fun. And I'm just so happy that now I can say that something that was started just like a fun side hustle has now become a thriving business employing five people and five independent contractors, and I have a whole warehouse.
Yeah, that's awesome. I bet if you go back in time, you would not tell yourself to not do it.
Oh, absolutely not. And particularly if I'd known how much the internet was going to be a factor. I mean, when I bought these were in 2000 and the internet was still in its infancy. It's amazing how much has happened. I mean, there's no such thing as e-commerce. eBay was still pretty new. And so primarily I was just selling to local or renting actually to local customers. But as the internet grew, then obviously it's increased my presence and my footprint. So now I ship all over the U.S. and Canada, and I have a lot more international inquiries, but mannequins are just so expensive to ship that sometimes interferes with that possibility.
All right. So you've been in business for a while, and so since the beginning of the internet, basically, as we know it. And so how has your business changed over the years?
Oh, it's been a total steep learning curve. So the very first time I put my website up, and this was just a basic website, really just more kind of like a placeholder, didn't have any functionality at all. And the very week my website went live, I got an email from someone from Canada who was coming to the Bay Area to Lake Tahoe for a trade show and wanted to rent a mannequin. Now, I wasn't prepared at the time to really handle that, but that's what made me realize, like, wow, even though I'm putting up a website thinking I'm just going to reach local customers, because that was all I could see at that point, I realized that, once again, the internet allows anybody to reach you. And particularly when you have a niche business like mine, it's so important that you can broaden your footprint to find other people who like what you need. I could not have survived in this business if I was only depending on business in my local area. It's only because of the internet that I've been able to stay in business.
Fast forwarding to now, you said now you have a small team. You have 5 employees, 5 independent contractors. What are those people doing for Mannequin Madness, and like, what do their roles look like?
A little bit of everything. So we have, someone who handles all of our logistics, because our warehouse is always changing with inventory of mannequins. So we work with drop shippers who have warehouses in other parts of the country, but in the Bay Area is where we have mannequins that we've recycled from department stores when they close or remodel. So managing that inventory, making sure that, you know, things get packed appropriately. We have customers who come into the warehouse. So I have this brick and mortar as well as the online business. So they're helping with the customers there. We're always having to photograph new items that have come in. We're putting together new YouTube videos to show people a lot of how-to about doing things. We do tutorials to show people interesting ways to use mannequins for art projects. I mean, it's Mannequin Madness. There's always something. We're putting up displays. We do a lot of workshops within our warehouse. There's no kind of like set schedule, because the mannequin business, even though it's such a low-tech industry, it's always dynamic and changing, because particularly as retail has changed, and now you have a lot of people who are, you know, selling online, they have different needs than people who were selling in a brick and mortar. And we now open up our warehouse so that people can come in and photograph their merchandise in our photo studio using the mannequins we have on site, or they can, you know, use other things, but is giving people a budget-friendly space in which to be able to take photographs for their online store. So that was something that just kind of got added. It's not really directly related to mannequins, but because so many people were renting mannequins for their store, you know, for their photography needs, we thought, well, why don't you just come on in and do it here and pay us?
So when I think of a mannequin, I think of like a light human-looking thing, very pale in a store. Like, what are some other ways people can use these things?
Well, first of all, mannequins come in such diversity. Talking about male or female children, do they have a head or are they headless? Are they mannequins that are for sewing, or are they mannequins that are for displaying clothes, you know, not necessarily to sew on? And then there's also things like mannequin legs and hands and heads, mannequins that you would just display jewelry on. I mean, it's literally every kind of appendage you can imagine of a body is also part of what's considered selling a mannequin. So someone who's displaying shoes needs a different type of display than someone who was displaying an evening gown. So we have that whole range of product offering in our location. Now, you're right, mannequins tend to be, you know, they're always young and thin and tall and usually white, in terms of Anglo. And they, like I said, there's not that much diversity in terms of sizing, but that's slowly changing. But like I said, a lot of people are breaking mannequins apart to create their own art projects. A lot of people like to do mosaic projects on mannequins. You know, sometimes there are some really interesting things that happen when Burning Man comes out. Burning Man time is like our Christmas season, because people want all kinds of dismembered body parts to do all kinds of interesting things at Burning Man. Burning Man and Halloween. You know, Halloween is now almost something for adults, because people really get into putting together their haunted house displays, and we're here to help them with the parts that they need.
That's really interesting. I never thought of all the different uses for a mannequin. So you have a ton of different customers. You have retailers, you have online retailers, you have Burning Man participants, you've got kids in art school. How, like, what does your marketing look like to reach all those people?
Well, that's where social media has come in very handy. And I love that Shopify has a lot of apps that integrate with, you know, Facebook and Instagram, Pinterest, and then certainly working with MailChimp with an email campaign, because you're right, there's different kind of customer segments. So photographers who are using mannequins for shooting apparel are going to be a different need than someone who has a brick and mortar store. Someone who's going to a trade show, for example, is going to have a different need than a fashion student. So we've really worked hard to really segment our email list to be able to send more targeted emails to people. There's also a particular brand of mannequin that's very coveted. It's almost like having someone who collects Porsches versus someone who just has regular cars. When I get a Porsche type of mannequin, there are certain people that that's all that they like to buy. So I have them in a whole different list. So when I come across those in my used mannequin recycling, I just send a list just to them. And many times those products never make it to my website because they buy them before I have a chance to post.
I love the different segments and how you're treating customers differently based on their behavior and what they're buying and what they're interested in.
Yeah. It's been a challenge. I can't say I've always been great at that, Dylan, but you know, you learn the hard way on certain things. And it's particularly as our groups have changed, you know, the whole maker do-it-yourself movement has really, you know, increased, particularly here in the Bay Area. And they have different kind of needs and different budgets than, say, someone who was doing a movie production. You know, we many times get a lot of requests from production studios for movies or video shoots, and they have different types of needs. So it's the process of trying to like manage all of those that's always a challenge.
Before you were segmenting your list, were you still sending emails, or just when you started sending emails, were you just sending them to?
Well, I started sending emails, and also as social media has gotten more segmented, you know, initially I just simply focused on putting my website with, you know, making sure I used search engine tools to make sure I was fully optimized and we were showing on the first page of Google and, you know, sometimes doing some Google ads. But I realized that also I needed to do a little bit more targeting. And mine is a little challenged because the majority of my business is probably going to other business owners. And then there's also a segment that goes to just straight consumers. So that was the first segment, just kind of like spreading those out. Okay, who are the casual buyers? Who are the business buyers? And then doing a separate segment with them, both with email and both how we market online.
Okay, so starting small, not necessarily jumping in and just narrowing everybody down by age and location and all these different things, just starting with the basics and then building onto it from there.
Exactly. And, you know, also getting feedback from customers when I can clearly see when I post something on Pinterest, what type of pin, you know, gets repinned a lot more than something else. The same thing with something on Facebook. And, you know, we've now started our YouTube channel to have a lot more tutorials and how-tos on YouTube. It's a challenge keeping them all straight now, particularly, like I said, I didn't grow up in the era of technology. So sometimes I feel like just when I get ahead, then there's like something new to come in. But it's important just to kind of know, you know, what your strengths are and to stay in your lane. And it's better to be on one or two things and post consistently there than to try to spread yourself thin and be on everything. Like I'm not on Twitter, for example. I mean, first of all, it's not as much of a visual medium as Pinterest. And sometimes I get a little carried away because I see, you know, a lot of trending things that are happening on Pinterest. I mean, on Twitter, it's can I jump in? It's like, that's not really my lane.
Yeah, I like the idea of just focusing on a few things and being really good at them than doing everything half as good as you could.
Yes, exactly. And that's where Shopify has been very helpful with a lot of their tools that they have on the back end. I used some other systems before I got to Shopify, and they've just streamlined the process so I could focus my time on some of these other things that, you know, need a lot more attention.
Totally. What are some of the things or some of the ways that Shopify has been able to help you take some of your time away and let you focus in on other things?
Well, first of all, they really have some great analytics, which usually have been sort of my weak spot because I used to have analytics in like so many different locations. You know, Google has its analytics, MailChimp has its analytics, every social media outlet has one, and it was getting to be overwhelming. And I like the ones on Shopify because I can clearly see what's happening in my site, you know, who my top customers are, what the top products are. And then recently I discovered that they were showing me items that people were looking for, but they couldn't find on my site. So that allowed me to either make the product much more visible, or in one case, I wasn't even carrying that item at all because it wasn't a mannequin product. It was like a garment rack, which is what you use to put clothes on. But, you know, just like people were expecting because I sell mannequins, I thought I would have a garment rack as well. So it allowed me to add a whole new product that I wasn't even thinking about doing because of some of the analytics that I saw within Shopify.
Adding these products, what did that add to your business?
Well, first of all, I mean, I can't really quantify that just yet, but in terms of just making me more of the online resource that I want to be for mannequins and to be able to provide the diversity, because as you know, a lot has changed on the retail market and I can no longer just rely on the brick and mortar community. So I've had to make sure that I have more of a broad offering, you know, so that people can see that I'm specialized within mannequins, but I have a very broad selection when they get here.
Jumping back a little bit, what kind of results have you seen segmenting and targeting your different customers differently versus not segmenting and just targeting everyone the same?
Oh, gosh. You know, looking at MailChimp, you know, just the open rate on them is just is many times doubled when it's a much more targeted campaign. The open rate, and the, meaning then the click-through rate, and then ultimately the sales has definitely gone up dramatically since I started doing that. And I really had resisted doing that at first because, you know, it just took more time and effort. But now that I'm seeing the results of that, now sometimes that means that I don't send things out as frequently, but what I'm sending out is much more targeted. So then the people are, you know, more appreciative of what they're getting. They're not being bombarded with something that they can't really use or have no interest in.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, when it comes to segmentation, people are scared of two things. One, they're not contacting everybody. And then two, it is kind of a lot of work because it's like for every one email you would send to your entire list, now you might be sending three or four or five to the different people.
Exactly. But it makes sense in the long run. I mean, it definitely takes a while to kind of get things segmented down, but it's so worth it because it's better to have fewer and a bigger response than send it out over place, out, you know, wide and get hardly any response at all. I mean, fewer and a better response and a lot and no response.
Yeah, and like you said, start small. You started with just two segments, your businesses and your consumers, and then you went from there and you kept building on, and now you're where you are now.
We're still segmenting as we go along. As I said, you know, someone who has an online store, well, there's different if their online store is selling athletic wear than if they have an online store, then they're selling shoes.
How many things do you have in your closet? How often do you need to buy new shoes, right?
Exactly. But also the shoe retailer is going to need a different type of display than someone who was selling clothing. So sending them a sale about, hey, we've got this great sale on these headless mannequins means nothing to someone who doesn't sell clothing. That's what I mean about trying to be more segmented like that. Now, we have found that there's some people like the DIY crowd, they just love to see creative things that people do with mannequins. And I've had to realize that sometimes it takes a while before they may respond. Sometimes see something and I say, oh, what a great idea, but they're not ready to do that right then and there. And that's tough for me because I'm impatient and I want to put out a sale and want people to respond right then. And I realized, particularly for my particular item, you know, it's not a consumer item like buying cosmetics or food or clothing that's something that's trendy and people need to have right then and there. But what I'm doing is I'm building up the brand recognition, the name recognition. So when people are ready, they immediately think of me or they refer me to somebody else. And just because sometimes that's a little longer selling cycle, sometimes it's hard to kind of immediately see the results that, wow, this email campaign that I sent out today may not yield a result until, you know, 2 months later.
Yeah. And I think that's something else people are afraid of. You want these instant results. You want to put in the work and you want to get the results right away. What I find is with a lot of marketing, you start now and then a few months from now is really when things start kicking.
Exactly. It's like you're building a skyscraper. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. But pretty soon you've got a pretty tall skyscraper that everybody recognizes.
You don't want to give up because right when you're about to give up is right when the momentum is about to start and it's just about to take off.
No, Dylan, that's happened so many times. You were so right. You're so wise about that because so many times I thought, this isn't working. And then boom, all of a sudden, I'll get a hit.
Can you give me a specific example of that you remember?
Well, as I said, there was a particular item that I had and I sent out a unique way in which to be able to use it. So one of the things we do is we now are doing tutorials because a lot of people want to know, well, how do I create this DIY project with a mannequin? So we started creating some tutorials to show people how. And I was posting on different DIY sites and I was posting on Facebook groups. And it just felt like it wasn't going anywhere. And then all of a sudden, you know, I started getting traction and what was from sites that I hadn't even reached out to. You know, I would look at my Shopify analytics and I would see something that came from, say, Reddit or something that came from a site in Canada, which was not anyone that I had targeted at all in my direct campaign. But somehow it was kind of like, you know, you're spreading seeds out there in the ground. And something sprouts up someplace and it was just because you planted the seed that it's there, but you didn't really plant it over there in that particular field.
Yeah, it's like the snowball effect.
Yes. And because we're, you know, social media happens so fast, there's this tendency to want to have things happen quickly. And, you know, certainly we see certain things that go viral. Everyone is chasing, trying to something to go viral. And, you know, it's great if it does, but, you know, most of business is just putting one foot in front of the other, step by step by step. yes, you can utilize these tools to make things a little bit more efficient, but some things just don't happen that fast. Back to the seed analogy, you plant a seed, no matter how much water and fertilizer and sun you put on it, it's still going to take some time before the roots really settle in and it can grow. But typically we want to plant the seed and harvest the exact same day.
Another good example of that is fitness, right? It's like you can't just go to the gym once and have, you know, be a bodybuilder. It takes time. It takes a year before you can move up and get stronger and do all these things. But as you start going, then you start to notice, oh, wow, my body looks different. My body feels different. But it didn't feel different overnight. And I think marketing is just like that.
Funny you would make that analogy because I just went to the gym today and that's exactly what I was feeling. Like, look, I feel like I'm huffing and puffing. I'm not seeing anything just yet. But I know I have to keep with it if I'm going to see any kind of result. And with the exercise workout, you know, there are certain things that you would incorporate to make your workout more effective. That's what I feel with, you know, the whole e-commerce and social media. There are things you can do to make the process more effective, but you still have to put the time in.
Kind of going in the same direction. Like you said you don't tweet. How do you know when to not do something versus keep going with it and keep trying it?
Well, part of it is just bandwidth. What can I do?
Right.
Part of it is, what do I like to do? I'm much more of a visual person than a word person. And so that's why Pinterest just immediately just spoke with me. And I knew that that was something that was, I wasn't going to have to be forced to do it. Effort is one thing, force is another. Twitter was going to be more of a force for me. And like I said, once again, between my business as a visual business. So that's why things like Pinterest and Instagram are much more of a natural fit for that than say LinkedIn or Twitter does. And some of it was like trial and error. You know, I tried it a few times and I wasn't seeing the results. And more than just, am I being impatient? It's more like I gave it what I felt was a quality amount of time of putting the effort in there. And it was just a huge difference between the return I got with Pinterest versus when I was putting something on Twitter. So then I just decided, let me just focus my efforts here. Now, I'm still trying to get the hang of Instagram because I realize that it's a different kind of image that people are looking for than they would be on Pinterest. And I'm just, you know, reading things online, looking for people who have more expertise in that. You know, you can't know it all. As you said, things are changing so fast with technology. I know I need to have it and I need to be aware of what the trends are, but not always chase the latest trend. So there's that delicate balance between not being stuck and doing the way you've always done it. And then I'm also just chasing a trend just because it's a trend.
Tell me a little bit about your Pinterest strategy. Like, do you run paid ads? How often do you post?
Well, I use an app. I don't know if you want me to mention particular apps, but they allow me then to schedule my posts. And so that's been really helpful because then I can get on a roll and say, okay, I'm going to spend today and just put a lot of images up and then they will post them. So I'm not just, you know, bombarding people all at one particular time. And I do that the same thing for Facebook and for Instagram.
What app is that?
It's called Tailwind. Sort of, I was using Hootsuite at first, and then I switched over to Tailwind. And I can't remember exactly why I did, but it just worked better. And that's what I mean. Sometimes you just got to, like, the technology that worked a couple of years ago may not necessarily work now. Like, I had a whole different platform that I was using for my e-commerce before Shopify. And I was really not wanting to change again because I have over 6,000 products. And so it's a lot to try to change things over. But ultimately, when I realized some of the benefits that Shopify had, it made it worthwhile to make that switch. So, like I said, I didn't just jump on it without doing some research and seeing what kind of things that it would offer for me. And another thing, you know, it's great that there's so many apps that are available to just kind of help streamline the process. Like there's a particular app that I use called InkFrog that allows me to take items that are in my Shopify store and I can post them on eBay, which is wonderful. I think eventually they also are adding a component with Amazon, but they don't necessarily have my product category for that. But that just really helps because, you know, it saves you time. I mean, I really like technology tools that allow me to work a lot more efficiently, whether it's the processing of orders, whether it's how, you know, emails get sent out to people, the shipping, all of that kind of stuff is so integrate with my QuickBooks so I can always see what money is on hand. That part of the business is just as important as the social media part of things. How efficiently can you operate? And can I operate when I'm not there? Or can I operate when I'm asleep and orders still get processed?
What are your go-to Shopify apps for achieving that?
Well, I love, some things are already built in the system, like the things that they have with, like I said, the analytics and there's a QuickBooks integration. As I mentioned, InkFrog, there's something called Better Shipping App. Because I use a different kind of way in which my shipping is calculated. And then, what's the name of the app? Because I now offer free shipping on certain size orders. And also, I love that Shopify allows me to put in a lot of discounts for different kind of offers, whether it's I'm offering a particular item or if they offer a certain bulk purchase, I can do a discount on that one. And then what I love too is because I work with a lot of drop shippers. So that means I have a lot of different fulfillment houses that I'm working with. And it's great that within Shopify, I can easily put in this product when an order comes in and gets sent to this drop shipper, and that gets handled seamlessly.
As we wrap up, what's next for Mannequin Madness and how are you going to get there?
Well, we're finding that our warehouse is becoming much more of a destination place. So this is once again sort of pivoting our business a little bit from just purely selling products that we have, but bringing people into our warehouse who want to take pictures of the products for selfie. You know, the selfie culture is huge now, which was not something when I was there before. So people are always looking for something visual that they can put on their pages. So we're making our place more of a destination spot for that, because how many people can go into a place that's full of mannequins? You know, may not appeal to you, but a lot of people, that's like, wow, that's something cool and different to do. So that, and as I said, allowing people to come in and use our warehouse for product shots in addition to doing something just for fun. But I'm always looking for new ways to just to make sure that I can stay ahead of Amazon. They're kind of like the big elephant in the room right now, because as a small business, it's sometimes hard to compete with Amazon that can offer, you know, free shipping and next day shipping. So we're really working to provide better customer service when people can call and get information. That's why I say we're the resource for all things mannequin. If it's just a simple, you know, cheap price you're wanting, we may not be able to do that. But if you need service and information and someone who can really hold your hand through the process, because buying a mannequin is a big purchase for a small store. And to make sure they're going to get something that has the best value for them long term, sometimes they want to talk to somebody, whether they're talking to me directly or just information that I have through my blog or my social media to help them make the best decision. We're really focusing on education.
I find myself all the time where I get really into something, reading everything I can about it, watching videos about it. And if you can be the business who has all the content and all the videos and all the thought leadership around that topic, you're going to be the go-to guy when the time comes for that person to make their purchase.
Absolutely. And that's, like I said, why we always have to continue to shift. Before, that wasn't really that much of an issue. But now, you know, as things are getting more crowded, it's sort of like a big old highway where there's so much going on. You have to figure, okay, what's going to help direct me to get to where I'm going? Because there's so much stuff out here. So I'm trying to make myself the expert in that regard.
Where can we go to learn more about you and your company, Judy?
Mannequinmadness.com.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode. I hope you got something valuable out of it. Subscribe to get notified when new episodes drop. And if you want to work with me, head over to wavebreak.co to learn more. Thanks again for listening. I'll see you next week.